The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Now we are in Parashas Bo. We are in the Parashas, the Shibud Mitzrayim and the Yetzias Mitzrayim of the enslavement in Egypt and the Exodus. This evening let's speak on some points which speak in general, particular and in general, of this very important episode. Now the Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Bo, Vayema Hashem el Meshe. Hashem said to Meshe, Be'el Pare, come to Pare, ki ani ichbarti es libay ves lev avodot. For I am going to harden his heart and the heart of his servants. Leman shishia yiseisa ele bikirboy. I will harden his heart in order that I can send my signs within Egypt. Leman tisaper beoz nevincho ven bincho es ashe yisalal to be Mitzrayim. And in order that you can tell over to the ears of your sons and your sons' sons all that I did in Egypt, yisalalti, Rashi says, Mesachik, that I sported, I played, I sported with Pari in Egypt. And all of the signs, my signs which I have placed there. Vidatem, vidatem ki ani Hashem. Vidatem ki ani Hashem. And you shall know that I am Hashem. Vayovei Meshe ba'arein el Pari. So Meshe and Aaron came to Pari. And he said to them, they said to him, this is what Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, have said. For how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Shalach ami ve'avduni, send out my nation that they may serve me. Ki ima ein atol shalach es ami. If you refuse to send out my nation, I will continue with the 10 plagues. I will bring tomorrow Arbe locusts into your boundaries. Now, similarly, we have at the end of Parshas Va'era, in Parshas Tes Posuk Yudalet, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Meshe, go to Pare, stand before him, and tell him, Ke Omar Hashem, this is what the God of the Hebrews has said, Shalach Hasami Ve'abduni, send up my nation that they may serve me. Ki Bapam Azeis, Ani Shaleach Es Kol Magifeisai, El Libcho, Uvavodecho Vamecho. Because this time I will send all of my plagues against you. Bavut heida ki ein kameini b'chol oretz. In order that you shall know that there is no one like me in the entire land. Now, b'ulam, then the Almighty speaks about sending in the devil where he's going to plague all of the animals. B'ulam bavu zeis hemaritichu. Now, what the explanation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that really I should smite all of the firstborn, and that's called Magefesa, and that's equal to all of my plagues. But for this reason I have been keeping you, in order to show you my strength, and in order that my name shall be spoken about in the entire land. See, here also we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that really I should give forth with all of my wonders. But I am holding you, I am letting you live in order that my name shall be known throughout the entire world. Similar to this, we have in Va'era Zayin Posuk Gimel. There Hashem said, Vani akshe eslev paroi. I will harden the heart of paroi. Vihirbeisi eseisei vesmeifsei eres mitzroim. And in order that I can bring forth many of my wonders into the land of Egypt. And also we had in Parshish Meis, in Gimel Posek Yutef, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe the first time at the burning bush that he should go and speak to Paroi, so he said, "Vani yodati ki lo yitein eschem melech Mitzrayim lahalech." I know that he will not let you go. Velei biyot kazoko, not with a strong hand. V'shalachti es yodi v'hikesi es Mitzrayim b'chol nifloisoi asher ese b'kirboi. And I will send forth my hand and I will smite him with all of my wonders. V'achrechein yishalach eschem. And only then will he send you. If we look into Rashi and the Chazals as to what all of this is all about, there are many points that we can learn from here. And we'll go through some of them now. First principle is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants for his creations to be good and upright. He wants them to be good, and he helps them to be good. And therefore, if they are a neta min aderech, if they go off the upright path, either to the right or to the left, he helps them come back. And how does he help them come back? If they won't do it on their own, or perhaps he'll give them good thoughts and they still won't do it, so then he brings Yisurin. He afflicts them. He brings them problems. And through these problems, then a person realizes what he's doing is wrong, and this helps him back to the proper path. Therefore, actually, if a person has problems, although none of us want problems, Cholila, and we don't want tzoris, but if a person does have them, he should look at them carefully. Because there's a lot of good in them. They're coming for a good purpose. For example, take it down to the simple physical level. None of us look forward to pain. But pain is a great blessing to the human being. A person puts his hand on a stove and it starts to hurt, so he removes his hand. Pain was the way that the body is communicating to the person that the hand is burning. So do something about it. If a person didn't have the power of pain, so his hand would have burned. A person has an ache in a tooth. She comes to the dentist. There was no way that that person would have known that something was wrong with the tooth. Dentist says, your tooth is infected, there's abscess. It's a good thing we caught it in time. Now we can save the tooth. Now why did we catch it in time? Because of the blessing of pain. The body was communicating to the person that there's something out of order here. Take care of it. So actually, pain, tzora, tzar, was given to the human being as a protection, as a defense system. Without it, he would become self-destructive. Now this applies in everything. Not only at the simple physical sense, but it applies to all levels. If a person sees that he's having problems, then he has to try to understand what is this, what kind of signal is this to him. Just like we mentioned, if a person's tooth is hurting him, he has to try to understand why. This is the way, this shows that something is out of order, and this is why these problems are coming to him. And this is a communication, a defense system, in which that he has to correct himself, otherwise these problems will get worse, and it can come to a point where it can do heavy damage. So therefore, yisurin, difficulties, are in essence a blessing to the person. And when a person goes off the proper way, if he doesn't return on his own, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him by bringing yisurin. The Gemara brings this in Masechet Brachos. We quoted it this past Shabbos. Gemara says in Masechet Brachos, Daf Hei, Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Vitem Rav Chisda. Rabbi said, some say it was Rav Chisda, Yimrei Odom Shisurin Boin Olov. The person sees that great difficulties are coming upon him. What should he do? Everybody, from time to time, has sores. They see sores coming. Problems, difficulties, afflictions, what should they do? Should they just turn their head and forget about it? That would be like the person who has a toothache and he wants to forget about it. Meanwhile, the body is telling them that there is an infection, there's something wrong. So Yifashvish B'maisov, he has to carefully investigate his ways, because they are coming for a reason. Nothing happens without a reason. For everything there's a cause, and for every cause there's a prior cause. So they're coming for a reason. As it states, Nachbisho Drochenu V'Nachkeira Necho. It states, Nachbisho Drochenu V'Nachkeira V'Nashuva Ad Hashem. That we will investigate our ways, we will look into them, and we will return to Hashem. So therefore a person must carefully examine why this is happening, and through this he will be able to straighten out his path. What happens, fish v'lei motzo? What happens if he investigates and he can find no cause for it? Doesn't know what he's doing wrong. Then yisla bebitul teira. The Gemara says, then we can assume that it's coming because he's not studying enough Torah. Shenemar ashrei hagever asher tiyasrenu ko miseiroskos lamdenu. David HaMelech said in Tehillim that fortunate is the person who HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts, and thereby he comes to study more Torah. This means that one of the ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with the person to study more Torah is through affliction. Ashrei hagever asher tiyasrenu ko miseiroskos lamdenu. So if he cannot find any specific cause for it, then he can assume he's not studying enough Torah. So this is a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directing him to study more Torah. Being told of Olei Motzo, what happens, but if he's studying as much Torah as he possibly can, and he cannot improve on it? So what then? Then, B'yodua Shiyasurin Shalava. Then he should know that they are Tzores not coming because of a particular wrong, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is miyaser, he brings affliction to a person, even who someone who is not doing wrong, in order to still improve him. Because affliction creates more challenges for the person. Affliction in itself can improve a person. And that's what is known as Yisurin Shalav. As it states, Ki as Hashem Yehov, Ki Asher Yehov, Hashem Yehiach. Kodesh Baruch Hu rebukes the one who he loves. For example, a coach is coaching an actor, or a trainer is coaching an athlete. So the one that has more potential and that's good, he works him harder. So then, if he cannot find any reason for it, then it must be Yisurin Shel Abba. But what do we see from this Gemara? Not as customary. That a person's having difficulties, he comes, goes on and says, hey, Azefil Tzoris, so many problems and so much this and I don't know why and so forth, and he goes on, continues with life. Now, it's coming for a reason. And if it's coming for a reason, he has to find out the reason. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to him, most likely he's giving him the capability of understanding why it's coming also. It's for a purpose. Just like at the physical realm. The person all of a sudden has a pain in his stomach. So it's there for a reason. The stomach is telling him something. And he's capable of finding out what is it. What happens if he closes his eyes to it? He closes his eyes to it. That's bad. It's like a person who has a pain in his stomach and he closes his eye to it. The pain continues and it continues and it gets worse and gets worse. One day when he'll finally find out what it is, it might be too late to do anything. Now this is what the Rambam brings. Can you give me a Rambam Zmanim? The second Chelek Zmanim. The Rambam brings, we've quoted this many times, in the beginning with Hilchas Tainus. Rambam says, "Mitzvah yase min ha'Torah lizeik v'lo'ariyah b'chatzei tzereis al kol tzoreh shetoveh al ha'tzibur." So mitzvah yase, a positive commandment, that the tzibur, that we are obligated to cry out to Hashem, and during the time of the Beis HaMikdash we would blow with the trumpets. Whenever a tzora, whenever a major problem came to the tzibur, to the community. For example, Betzurais, drought, Dever, Arbe, sickness, Cholilo, locust, war, and so forth. Now, why? Because this is of the ways of tshuva, repentance. Shebizman shetovei tzora, bizorku aleha v'yoriu, because when a tzora, heaven forbid, would come, if the people will cry out to Hashem, so then they realize this is a declaration. This is an expression. That it's coming because of something that they're doing. It's not just happening. It's coming because of something they are doing. So they're crying out to Hashem. And they're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help them and to take it away and help them to correct their ways. So this itself brings a person to tshuva, to recognition. And zehu sheyigrem lahasirat tzora me'aleihem. This will cause the removal of the tzora. Avoim lo yizaku v'lo yoriyo. But what happens if they will not react to it? They'll keep quiet. They will say, look, these things happen, what can you do? There has to be drought, there has to be sickness, and there has to be plague, and there has to be war. So it happens. This, the Rambam writes, is cruelty. Because this is going to cause the people to continue in the same evil ways that they were before. And this will bring more tzoras. Who should cause the potato of Allah to be me bekeri, Allah to gam ani moche bekeri. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that if you will walk with me, and anything that happens, you will say that it's just b'minag ha'olam, it just happens naturally, and I am not causing it. Then I will walk with you that way also. And I will not take care of you. It's exactly the same if it's with a physical sickness.
If a person has a physical sickness and he reacts to it, so then he'll cure the problem. But if he has a physical sickness and he does not react to it, not only he won't cure the problem, but the problem will become worse and worse. So, therefore, affliction is something which, even though we don't want and we don't look forward to and we do not at all enjoy it, but it is actually a blessing to the person. And therefore, he must react to it. That's the first principle here. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, tell Paray, Shalach Esami Ve'Avduni, send out my nation. And if not, Hine, I will bring Arbe Ligvulecho. I will bring locusts into your boundaries. If you won't do what's right, I will afflict you until you decide to do what's right. All right, that's the first principle. Another principle now is every individual was given the ability and the power of choice to do what's right. This every individual. In accordance to his particular circumstance. And this the Chazal tell us, and the Rambam writes, is elaborates in this, in Hilchos Deos. And actually he calls this is the greatest foundation of the human being. This is why the human being is the king. Because he has total free will when it comes to good and evil. He alone can decide if he'll do good, and he alone will decide if he will not do good. Every individual is given this right. And no one can say on a person, that person will not do what's right. Because then you're taking away his freedom of right and wrong. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say that. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he told Moshe in the psukim that we quoted, go to Parek, v'ani yodati, ki layitein, I know that he will not let you go free. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ani yodati, I can testify he will not choose right, but no one else can. And actually the Briske Rav Zichrayin of Rocha, Reb Elbel, he brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu here didn't even use one of his names, Ki Hashem Yodati, he said Ani. Ani refers to the highest level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only the highest level of Hashem can testify on a person if he'll do good or won't do good. Because so strong is the individual freedom of right and wrong. So he said, go to Paray, give him the choice, but I know that he will not choose right. And he will never send the people away until I force him to, but not on his own. But only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can testify to such a thing. Only him. Therefore, we can never say on a person, he'll never change, he'll never do right. This we can't say. This we don't know. Now we come to a third point. We learned in the psukim that we quoted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Vani aksha eslev paray." I will harden Paray's heart. I know he will not send you free, and I will harden his heart that he should not. Now, what does this mean? He's hardening Paray's heart. So the Chazal explained. In the first five makos, it states that Paray hardened his own heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him his choice. You could either do right and send the people away, or you can continue with your tyranny and not send them away. So he gave him the opportunity, and Paray hardened his own heart. But in the second five makos, the last five, there it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Makshe Libo. He hardened Paray's heart. Now why? Because after the first five, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that it's too late. Paray will never do tshuva. He will never do what's right. Now here we learn another principle. There's a point of no return, just like at the physical level. A person has a toothache. He goes to the dentist and he saves the tooth. He does nothing about it. So it becomes more infected and more infected until finally the dentist says it's too late. He has to remove the tooth. The same thing, heaven forbid, with other parts of the body. If a person does wrong, it doesn't always reach into the essence of the person. It can be superficial. A person can have a superficial wound. He has a superficial wound, will save the arm. It's a flesh wound. So he can do tshuva, he can correct it. But what happens if you have a flesh wound and you do nothing about it? And it becomes more infected and more infected. There's a point of no return. There's a point where nothing can be done about it. And that's what is known when the chait becomes part of the etzem ha'odam. When the chait, the aveda, becomes not superficial, where he can cleanse himself from it, but it becomes, in essence, part of him. And he can never remove himself from it without removing part of himself also, or all of himself. And this power reached after the first five plagues. Because Baruch Hu first sent the dam, the blood, the river turned to blood, and then frogs came, and then the kinim, the lice came, and so forth and so on. Each time he had an opportunity to do what's right, he refused. He was obstinate. Ad masai, mo anto leones miponoi, for how long will you refuse to humble yourself to me? He refused. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he's past the point of no return. So there's nothing to talk about anymore. There is no tshuva. See, there's no repentance by him. Therefore, after that, we didn't have to deal with his bechira, his free choice, because he had none left. He was beyond the point of choosing good. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after that, didn't worry if he didn't have free choice anymore. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, why will I harden his heart? Well, two questions now. So if Pare wouldn't send the people, if he saw that Pare would never send the people away, so why did he have to harden his heart? Even without hardening his heart, he won't send the people away. And secondly, so what is the purpose now? So the answer to that is, Maral says this in his Gevuras Hashem, the second five makos were of such extremity that Pare would not have been able to stand it. See, he would have sent the people away, but not because he wanted to do what was good, only because he's being forced to. Not because he's doing this because this is the right thing, but because he's forced to. The first five he could stand up against, and he chose to stand up against. But the second five, it was impossible for a man to stand up against. So he would have sent them away, but not because he chose to do good. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I might as well have some use out of Paray now. I've given him all the opportunity that's possible. He has not taken it. Really, I should kill him immediately. I should destroy Egypt immediately, and I should take the people out. So there's a question, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu drag it out for so long? He says, because now let me use Paray, and let me use Egypt. I'm going to harden his heart. So now I will make it where he will not send the people out, even though it's impossible to stand up against these makis, these plagues. And for the purpose that I can send into Paray and into Egypt all of my wonders. Kol magi faisal. All of my wonders. Why? Because I want the world, and I want the world in general, and Israel in particular, to see my wonders and my strength. Now here we learn another principle, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows himself to Israel by smiting the evil nations. I want to teach Klal Yisrael forever my greatness and my strength, my Yod Hazoko. Therefore, I will bring all of my wonders against Paro in Egypt. Now Rashi brings this, and this is what we learn in the Novi, in Sefanyo. In Perek Gimel, Pasuk Vov, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ichrati goyim noshanu pi nation. I have destroyed nations, I have laid desolate their towers, Ichrati chutzeisom, I have destroyed their marketplaces in Mibli Aver, and not a person remains, Nitz tu areihem, I have laid desolate their cities, Mibli yesh mein yeshiv, and it's empty. Omati achtiri esi tichi musa. And I am doing this for you, in order that you should fear me and take rebuke from here. V'lei koreis me'omer kol asher pekariti aleho. And in order that this shall not come to you. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy a nation because they are guilty of such destruction, and no longer is it possible tshuva, he can do it in two ways. He can do it quietly in 1, 2, 3, or he can do it with great publicity. So many times he chooses to do it with great publicity, in order that others should see, and in particular Yisrael, and tiri esi v'tichi musa, to fear me and take rebuke. We see, look what happened over there. We must become better. So that's one reason what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. I should do away with Pare right now in Egypt and let you all go. But I'm going to harden this out so I can bring all my wonders, in order that the whole world shall see. Secondly, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, served as the Gilui Shechina. It served as to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever in the eyes of Klal Yisrael. It served as the cornerstone of Emunah, the cornerstone of faith. Like it states in the Torah, Leman tesaper be'ozne bincho uvenei bincho. I want that you should be able to tell this over to your children and your children's children. Ki sholcho bincho mocha lemor, when your children will ask you tomorrow, same. And that's the whole purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Pesach Seder that we do every year. So therefore, he said, I'm going to utilize this opportunity now with Pare. Now from here we learn another great principle. Not only do we have to react to sufferings and problems that come upon ourselves, but we also must react to sufferings which come upon other nations. Now we have the great so-called blessing of instant media, where we can take a newspaper or turn on a television set and see all of the tzoras of the whole world brought to you within a matter of minutes. And we watch it and we go on our way. Means nothing. This is not the Derech HaTorah. This is not the way the Torah is instructing us. If great tragedies are happening in other parts of the world, if we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the world, then He is bringing these tragedies. And it is brought for a purpose. It is deserved. And it's brought for a purpose, and it is supposed to be learned from. Omati achtiri esi, when I destroy great nations, when I destroy their cities, I lay desolate their marketplaces. Tire esi, tiri esi tichimusar, belei koris. You must learn from it and take rebuke, in order that, heaven forbid, it should not come upon you. That means that a newspaper or a television set can become musar, can become rebuke for a person, that he makes him aware of what's happening in the other parts of the world. From here he should shudder and immediately improve himself. Now, it was befitting this should happen dafke to me. The Tara became the vessel, the tool in which the Kodesh Baruch Hu would use to reveal to the whole world, like it states, Shomu Amim Yozun, Chilo Chashesh Vepeloshes. The nations heard what happened, and they trembled with fear. Because Tare was the one who extinguished the light of the world. Here he took, there was an Avraham Avinu. Everyone knew of Avraham, of Abraham. There was a Yitzchok and Yaakov. And this was the family and the nation that was bringing the light of Torah into the world. And the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were known. They were known to kings. Vayokom Melech Chodosh, a new king arose. Velo Yoda es Yosef. And he didn't want to know of Yosef. And he didn't want to know of Yaakov. The fact is, when Yaakov came down to Egypt, the famine ended. It was only the second year of the famine, and the famine ended. And Yaakov gave a brocha to Pare that was such a strong brocha, whenever Pare went to the Nile River, the river would overflow its banks and fill up all of the irrigation canals of Egypt. And this is why all of Egypt mourned for Yaakov. Now this Pare lo yodash Yosef, he didn't want to know of that. Wasn't interested. So he extinguished the light of Torah. And then when Moshe came to him, this was in Parashas Shemos, when Moshe came to him, and he came with the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of Parashas Shemos, this is in Hey Aleph, Beis, Shalach Hashemi v'yachol guli b'midbar v'yem Pare. What did Pare say? He said, Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma b'keilei. Who is this God that I should listen to his voice? Le'yadah l'shalach Hashem Yisrael, that I should send out Israel. Le'yadati es Hashem. I don't know him. What was he saying? Pare held himself not only as a king. Pare held himself as a god, the Chazal tell us. Incidentally, this is true with every great tyrant. This is not only true of ancient tyrants. Every great tyrant, when I say great, what I mean great in strength, that becomes very, very strong, eventually it goes to his head, where he starts to think that not only is he a king of the world, but he's even a greater king than the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, the king of all kings. The Caesars, they held themselves not only as kings, they held themselves as divine kings. Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, he had a whole philosophy, but he was a divine king. Napoleon also. Napoleon told the church, I am above the church. Eventually it goes to their head, their power. And when Pare said, Mi Hashem, wasn't that, I've never heard of him. I'm greater than him. So he brought a kfira, an atheism. He extinguished the light of Hashem and Torah in the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, have it your way. It will be through you that my name shall be known in the world. You said, Mi Hashem. Who is Hashem? You said, Le'yadati, I don't know. Not only will you know, but through you the whole world will know. The whole world will know who am I. A little later, Pare was forced to say, Etz Belekim. His wise one said, it's the finger of Hashem. When they couldn't duplicate one of the markers. Finally, when the Makas Becheris, when it came to smite the firstborn, Pare ran and he told Moshe, leave, and not Parsha. He says, leave, go. Hashem HaTzadik. He is the righteous one. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Be'el Pare, come to Pare. And Ichbarati es libo, I'm going to harden his heart, as Lev Avodov, and the heart of his servants, in order that I can bring all of my signs into Egypt. Why? Leman tisaper be'ozne vincho ben bincho. Because through Pare, Pare will be the vessel, the tool in which it shall be known forever who I am. Your children and your children's children, Esa Asher Isa Lauti b'Mitzrayim, how I sported with Pare in Egypt. Now one final note on this. What does Hashem say, I sported, I played? Rashi says, Misachik. Misachik all the time means something which is not real. See? For example, like we say in English, we play. What does it mean, we play? See, we'll play a game. It's not real, but we'll play. We'll play house. In Yiddish you say it's a spiel. That means something which is not real. That's what Misachik means. Misachik means something which is not real. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take Paro and I'm going to make him into a non-real entity. Why? Because a person is a king. It's Melech Shebetachteini. Man is the king of the world. Especially a great king of Paro, like Paro. What is his greatness? His greatness is his power to do right. His power to determine and to do what is right and what is wrong. I have taken that away from Paro. He is not real anymore. He is only a tool now. And the whole world shall know this, what I have done to this great king, Esa Asher Isa Lauti, that I have sported with him. And this is what you will be telling your sons and your sons' sons forever. So this is the meaning of these psukim. These are the principles, what we learn from them. That first of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs a person. If he cannot direct him other ways, he brings affliction upon him to direct him in the right way. And therefore we must always learn from affliction, because it is a blessing. Secondly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every individual has the power to do good. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say on someone that he won't do good. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Ani yadati, I know that he will not choose good, but no one else is capable of that. Then there comes a point of no return though. The person doesn't listen to the affliction, and he doesn't choose to do right. Eventually it will come to a point where it reaches his very essence, and then he can never do right. And that's what happened to Pare in Egypt. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose to destroy them. But instead of destroying them quietly, many times he will destroy them with a great publicity. Why? In order that we should learn from it. See and take rebuke from it. And this is why after the first five plagues, when he saw Pare wouldn't do tshuva, immediately he should have destroyed Pare in Egypt and sent Klal Yisrael out. But no, he said, I am going to keep him alive yet. And this was Dafke Pare in Mitzrayim. Because it was through this that the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out to the whole world. This is the cornerstone. Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, the remembrance of the going out of Egypt, is the cornerstone of almost our entire Torah. The first of the Ten Commandments is Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, Asher Etzisicha Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Mebeis Avodim, that has taken you out of Egypt, in the house of slavery. Dafke through Pare this should come, because he is the one who wanted to stand up and extinguish the light of the Almighty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will reduce you to something which is not real. You'll be like an animal, not a man. You claimed you were a god. You were the king of all kings. I will reduce you to nothing. And through you, the world will know who I am. We'll go to another point in these sedras. Vani Aral Sfosayim. Moshe kept saying, I am Aral Sfosayim. how can I speak to Paray? I cannot speak. Moshe had an imperfection. He was not capable of talking. It was a physical imperfection. Something was wrong. Now, where did that imperfection come from? So there are two opinions in the Medrash. States that in Parshas Shmos, when Moshe was born and they couldn't conceal him anymore, so his mother took a basket and put him in the basket and put the basket in the reeds of the Nile River. Then the daughter of Paray came along with her maidservants to bathe in the river, and she saw the basket and she stretched out her hand and took the basket. And it states, "Vatirehu esayeled vihine nar becher." She saw the child. Now, yeled means a very small child. She saw the child, vihine nar becher, and a lad was crying. Nar is generally used for someone bar mitzvah, very close to bar mitzvah. Like the Gemara says, a nara, that's when she's 12 years old. So a nara boy would be usually someone who's bar mitzvah. Yelid means a child. So it states that she saw the child and the lad was crying. The Medrash tells us, Tony, who yelled Bekele Kedar, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. He was a young child, a young baby, but his voice was heavy like that of a lad. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says. In other words, already there was some imperfection there. Omar Lei Reb Nechemya. Reb Nechemya said to Rabbi Yehuda in Kena, Sisa Balmum Lemesha Rabbeinu Olav Shalom. He says, according to you, the way you are learning this posuk, you are making Moshe into a balmum. You are making him with an imperfection. Now, firstly, it's not right that Moshe, who was so perfect in everything, should be imperfect. But secondly, it has another ramification. The Matnas Kuna brings, I think this might be a Gemara in Masechta Seta, but he brings, Moshe was a Levi, from Shevet Levi. By Shevet Levi, one of their tasks in the Beis Hamikdash was Shira, to sing in the Beis Hamikdash. Says a Levi's nifsa bekol. If a Levi has a very bad voice, then he's disqualified. It's a balmum. So here, Moshe was a Levi, and you're making him into a balmum. You disqualified him. If he was a little child and already he had an imperfect voice like a lad, then something must have been wrong. So Reb Nechemya doesn't learn like Reb Yehuda. He says, what does it mean? He was a nar. Elamlamet shosasale ime chupas nuurin beteva. His mother had made a chupa in the basket because she said, she was afraid that she might never see her child again. She was hoping he would live, someone would find him, and he would grow up, but she would never see him again. And one day he'll get married and she won't be at the chupa. So therefore she made a chupa for him now in the basket. So it was a chupas na'urim. It was a chupa for a nar, for a lad already. See, someone who's older. That's what it means that she saw the child and the nar was becha. So we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, already he had this imperfection. According to Rabbi Nechemya, he did not have this imperfection. So according to Rabbi Nechemya, where did the imperfection come from? There's another medrash. The Medrash tells us a little later. This Medrash is in Chof Dalet, Shmeis Pash Aleph Chof Dalet. In Chof Vov, the Medrash tells us, it states, Vayigdal Hayeled. The child grew up. Vativiel vas pare, hoisobas pare, menasheke, sumechaveke, sumechaveves, esoi ki ilu hubano. The daughter of Paray took care of Moshe like her own child. She would kiss the child and hug the child.
and love the child as if it was her own son, and she would never take the child out of the palace of the king. Incidentally, the Medrash tells us that because she brought up the child, not only she saved his life, but she brought him up. Therefore, even though Moshe had many names, he was given other names, his name always remained, and even HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him by the name that the daughter of Pareh gave to Moshe, which was Moshe. And eventually, the daughter of Pareh was Megayer, she converted, and she went out with Klal Yisrael, and her name was Bisho, Bas Kor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her that name. He said, you made my son your son, so I shall make you my daughter. That's what Bitsho means. Moshe was so beautiful that everyone wanted to see him. Someone who would look at him couldn't take his eyes off of him. And Pareh also would kiss him and hug him. And when he was playing with Pareh, when he was a little baby, he would take the crown of Pareh off of Pareh's head and put it on his own head. And like he was destined to do when Moshe grew up, this is what he did. He took the crown off of Pareh's head and put it on his own. The daughter of Pareh was bringing up the one that would destroy the crown from her father. The Medrash tells us here, incidentally, it's not relevant to what we're saying, but it's important to know, this we find many times with the Goyel. The Redeemer that's going to come and free Klal Yisrael is not going to come from outside, he's going to come from inside. Just like we see, Moshe didn't come from a strange land. Moshe himself was brought up in Mitzrayim, and he was brought up in the palace of Mitzrayim. And that's how it will be with the Melech HaMashiach also. Melech HaMashiach will not be someone that will come from a faraway place. He'll come from inside. The Melech HaMashiach who will come and destroy Edom, it's the great Roman Empire, Yeshiv Imoyim Ben Vedina. He dwells with them right there. Now, when Moshe would take the crown off of the king's head, the Chartume Mitzrayim, Pareh's wise men and advisors and astrologers became very nervous. They said, they said, we're afraid of this child that is taking your crown off and putting it on his head. Now they had told Pareh that they had seen in their stars that there is someone who's going to come and destroy you and free the Hebrews. But they weren't sure who he was and where he was from. But they had told him that. So they said, maybe this is the one. So they became very alarmed. So some said, kill him, cut his head off. Others said, burn him. One of the advisors of Pareh was Yisrei. Yisrei was to become Moshe's father-in-law, and he was a tzaddik, a righteous person. He said, "Nar hazein v'das, what are you getting so excited for? This child doesn't know what he's doing. Don't get so excited." So they decided they'll test him. He said, test him. Bring some hot coals in front of him and bring a utensil full of gold. If he'll take the gold, so then we see he has das. He knows what he's doing. Then, alright, then you can do away with it. But if he will take the coals, the hot coals, then he doesn't know what he's doing. So they decided to do that, and Moshe knew what he was doing, and he went for the gold. Bo Gavriel, the angel Gavriel came, Doches Yodei, and pushed his hand from the gold into the coals. Moshe took a coal and immediately put the hand to his mouth because it burnt. And his mouth and his tongue became burnt. And that's how he became blemished and was unable to speak well. So this must be Reb Nechemya's opinion, that he received this blemish later. But according to the Yehuda, he was born with it. So there are two opinions. The question is asked, according to the Yehuda, if he's born with it, why? Why was he born with this imperfection? And the Maral tells us a very deep reason in Perichov Ches of Gvuras Hashem. According to this opinion, the reason why Moshe was born with this imperfection. Moshe, we must realize, is one of the greatest men who ever lived. There was never a prophet as great as Moshe. There was never one, like the Sefer Torah tells us at the end, who spoke mouth to mouth with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, face to face, who brought Torah into the world, and did all of the great wonders before Paro in Israel. So Moshe's level was extremely high. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Nida and Daf Lamed, it states that when the, in Daf Lamed Amud Beis, it states that when the embryo is in the womb of the mother, so there's a candle over his head, there's a light over his head. And the Malach comes and teaches him Kol HaTorah Kula, teaches him the entire Torah. And he is able to understand the entire Torah, and he's able to see from one end of the world to the other. When it comes time for him to be born, the Malach gives him a slap on the mouth. Mishkach is Kol HaTorah Kula. Mishakeach, he forgets all of the Torah. And he starts to cry, and he's born. He's born and he starts to cry. And the light goes away. Now what does this represent? So the Maral says, this represents the body and the soul. The body is in the womb, and the soul hovers over him. It says, Kiner Neshoma. The Neshoma is like a light, lights up the person. But there are two entities while they're still in the womb of the mother. So it's over his head. When he's born, the soul enters the body. Now this is a limitation for the soul. Because the soul comes from high, it's a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It states in the Chazal that the soul is like a daughter of Hashem. It's like a king who sends a daughter to a far off state, a foreign land, and she's forced into a rural community, which is not her way at all. So is it with the soul. And once the soul enters the body, it's limited. It's a prisoner and limited by the human body, by the physical body, because the soul is spiritual. This is why we have such difficulty understanding Torah, because Torah is also the daughter of Hashem, comes from far away, spiritual. We try to understand it as a physical being, it's very difficult. But the child before he's born, so the soul is part of him but has not yet entered into the body, it's above him, it's easy for him to understand Torah. Therefore the Malach, the angel, teaches him Torah and he understands Kol HaTorah Kula. And he's able to see from one end of the world to the other because there's no limitation. Why can't we see? Because we are physical and all physical entities are limited. That's so we can see from one end of the world to the other. But there, the child can. And it states those are the best years of his life. When it comes time to become born, the soul enters into the body. Soul becomes a prisoner in the body. Because of this, all of the Torah is forgotten. The Malach slaps him on his mouth and he weeps. Why does the Malach slap him on his mouth? Because that's the final perfection of the human being. Just like when a potter makes pottery, he gives it a final strike with the hammer, which strengthens it. And that's the final blow which forms it. So is this, that the human being that's part physical and part spiritual, the final blow, that is what brings it to its finale. Why on the mouth? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man on the day he created him. So it states, he called him, he created him from the dust of the earth and from a spirit from above, like we said, and he was Lenefesh Chaya. He became a Nefesh Chaya. What does Nefesh Chaya mean? So Targum Onkelos says, Ruach Memalo. He became a speaker. The final perfection of the blend of the two forces manifests itself in the power of speech. Because only a man can speak. And speech is something which is a combination of physical forces and spiritual forces. For example, the mind, thoughts of the mind are not physical. Chemists have not been able to physically break down a thought. It's not physical. Sight and hearing. It's not physical. Speech is physical. It's done with the physical apparatus of the mouth. But at the same time, it's also mental and spiritual. Everyone can have all of the physical apparatus of the mouth. But if they don't have proper mental facilities, then they can't speak. I once mentioned that voice experts claim that an enormous amount of speech problems, some are physical, but an enormous amount are emotional or mental. Speech combines all of the faculties of the being, physical, emotional, and the mental, and the spiritual. So this was the perfect blend of the person. Actually, this is the wonder of the human being. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramban, the Mishnah Berurah brings, I believe it's in Siman Hey, that on the bracha that we make, Asher Yotzar Asadom Mechochma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the man with wisdom, Mafliya la'aseis. Mafliya means pella, wonder. The human being is a wonder. Now, every part of him is wondrous, but what's specially wondrous about him? That you can take something that's spiritual and you take something that's physical and you put them together. And they work synonymously together. For example, if you harm someone spiritually, it affects him physically. If you destroy someone physically, he's destroyed spiritually. And even the food that one eats, it's a physical nourishment and it's a spiritual nourishment. A person takes physical food, not only does it sustain his body, it sustains his soul also. This is the pella. This is the wonder. Now, so therefore, when the child is put together, soul and body, the final part of the creation is his mouth, his power of speech. And that's where the angel strikes you. And now he forgets his Torah because his soul has entered the body and has become limited. Moshe, who went up to receive Torah. Now, a regular human being cannot do this because Moshe was taught entire Torah, the Torah tells us. Kikalose. He was given the whole Torah. Human being can't understand the whole Torah. He spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu peh al peh, mouth to mouth. This is regular human being can do. He was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and he didn't eat, drink. This means that Moshe's level, his soul, was at the higher than a physical level. This means that the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu was never totally limited in the body. Because of that, the Maral says, he had an imperfection of speech. Because that perfection of speech comes from the perfect blend of the soul and the body. And Moshe's soul never totally entered into the body. He was always somewhat above the human limitations. Therefore, this is the opinion that he was born like that. He was born, he was a yelid and a nar, a child but with the voice of a nar, that he had the speech imperfection, ani kfad peh ukfad loshen. And that's what he always claimed, that Pare, how could I speak to Pare? I have this imperfection of the mouth. And these are a few points on the sedras of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which serve as a very great foundation for our nation and all of our mitzvahs.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.